pleasant good morning to you and welcome to The Deed of Inheritance. This is Fiona Pishka and I hope you're having a wonderful day today. Of course, you know The Deed of Inheritance is sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship and we are located in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. Normally in our program at this time, I turn and I'd say, you know, Pastor Doug, how are you doing? Well, Pastor Doug's not with us today. Instead, we have a very special guest that's with us in the studio today and I'm very excited that she is here with us, and her name is Lisa Hostler, and she is the president of SVPS, and I'll explain what that is to you a little later. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. It's great to be here.
Amen. It's great to have you, and we're so excited that as a church here at Victory Christian Fellowship, we are excited to have to be part of a wonderful ministry as SVPS. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that. Today's program is going to be all about what they do because this is a very special month that we're celebrating here this year in the month of January. And specifically this Sunday, it's Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, January 20th. And so we wanted to bring you some information that could change your life, that could help family and friends. And maybe if there's something that you're going through yourself, we want to be able to help you. Of course, I'd like to let you know if you want to call us directly, you may call us at 717-838-2033. That's our church at Victory Christian Fellowship. Or you may log on, and if you'd like to send this program even now to friends or family, log on to our website at www.vcfpa.org and click on our free resources tab, and that will give you the opportunity to be able to send this message off to friends and family and to help them listen to this program as well. So you're welcome to do that. So we just want to let you know that ahead of time. Well, before Lisa starts sharing some stuff with us, I want to read for you Psalm 139 and verse 16. And it says here in Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them." And I just want to let you know today that you coming here to this earth was not a mistake. None of us are a mistake. It didn't matter how you got here. God has a plan in heaven that's already been written before the foundations of the earth, the Bible says. And you came here and he wanted you here for such a time as this. And Lisa is here with us today. And Lisa, first let's unlock the mystery for the folks. What does SVPS stands for?
Stands for Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services, and we are an evangelical life-affirming ministry that is there for women and men and teens who are unprepared for pregnancy.
Amen. Now, see, you said women and men and teens. Now, see, that's something different that you hear. Usually, agency is yours and a ministry is yours is usually catered for women.
Right. Right. Well, we have, of course, found that men are equally a part of the situation of an unplanned pregnancy. And with teenagers, it's both guys and girls who are involved sexually. So we really, from the beginning, wanted to reach out to the men as well and really help them be part of good decision making for their own lives and for the life of their unborn child and, you know, with their own sexuality.
Amen. And, you know, we need that so much in the church today. I think sometimes as Christians, we try to shy away from topics like that. But that's the social situation of our environment today.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to address it. So I'm so glad that you guys have a ministry. And actually, you're right in our backyard, one of your offices. Tell the folks about some of the places that you have offices.
We have one location is a clinic in Lebanon, downtown Lebanon. We also have a medical clinic in downtown Lancaster. And then a pregnancy center that does counseling and material assistance in Ephrata, which is in Lancaster County. And also one in Columbia in Lancaster County.
Amen. So you are really connected in with the community and able to service a vast majority of our listeners. I know that some of you listening are from some of these areas. Mm-hmm. So when we speak today, you'll be able to connect. And maybe you're not the one that needs some of these resources, but of course you could always refer a friend. I know in many churches today, women especially might not feel comfortable confiding in a pastor for some of these issues in their life, but they might confide in another lady in the church.
Yep.
Yeah. And those, have you had some of those referrals?
Oh yeah, that happens all the time, that someone will call and they say, I have a friend from my church, or a pastor will call and say, I know this family from my church. And so, yeah, or just a friend of our ministry will say, I have a friend from out of state. That just happened yesterday. A guy called and he said, I have a family I'm good friends with. They're from Missouri. And who can they call in Missouri? Or can they talk to somebody on the phone from your ministry? So, yeah, it's just, it is so, so common that any of us would have a friend or know of a family who's dealing with a crisis pregnancy situation.
Amen. And I know that's good to know too, Lisa, because we do have listeners that are around the country because of the online listening option that our listeners have. So that's another option as well. If you're listening online, please don't feel like you are, this isn't for you. You could always visit their website. It's www.svps.org, and they have information on there for you of how to get in contact with them. Of course, you may call 888-601-6021. We'll give this number again as well throughout the show. But, you know, I wanted you to, Lisa, if you could tell us a little bit about what it is. If I come to you and I'm having a crisis pregnancy, it's, you know, I just discovered I'm pregnant and it's not something I want, at least that I think I want. What is it that would happen when I come to one of your clinics?
Well, hopefully the first thing that you would sense is that the people there really, really care about you as a person and not just caring about the baby that you're potentially carrying, because we really do. We really do love the girls and the guys. You know, boyfriends can come along, or husbands sometimes come along. And so hopefully the first thing you'd feel is that, wow, these people really care. I can tell that they really care about me. They want to sit down with me. And so we would sit down with the girl. If she isn't sure she's pregnant, then we would offer her a pregnancy test to just, you know, make sure that that's what we're dealing with. And then really spend time hearing her heart and hearing her situation and what's happening in her life, you know, like what those stressors are, what the pressures are that are making her think that abortion would be a good option for her. So that's really like the first order of business in our hearts, is to love her because we do, and to listen to her because we know that, well, we really want to understand what her situation is so that we can give her the best counsel and help her, because we've really understood what she's struggling with and what she's thinking about it.
Amen. And that's so good, because then that puts her at ease.
Yeah.
So she could now start explaining to you what's really going on. Because I think for most women, the first option of abortion in their mind, or when they do come to you at that state, they probably really deep down don't want to do that. But they probably don't see a way out.
Right. Right. It's a rare exception that a girl in a cavalier way would just easily have an abortion. Most girls would, you know, I mean, God put this maternal instinct within us as women, yes, that would be to have and nurture life and to give life, not to end life. And so, yeah, at the core, we believe, of each woman is that God-given innate desire to have and nurture life, you know. Now, for a lot of these girls, that's not what they were picturing. That's not the life stage they're in. They're not married. Their boyfriend just broke up with them, or they have other children and no financial ability to care for another one, or they're in college, or they just started a new job. And so it's not like the first thing in their mind isn't like, well, I have this God-given, you know, innate desire to nurture life. And so that's why we really want to hear about those struggles and legitimate pressures that they're feeling in their life, and then help kind of work through that and process that through with them.
Amen. And that is, you know, so if you have someone that you know that's going through this, you could send them there with confidence, because I've been to your office in Lebanon, and there is such a warmth there. Yeah. I have got a full tour. They've never met me before. As a pastor's wife, I wanted to go there and just meet the people that we, the, you know, the ministry that we had been supporting for since the beginning of this church, actually. So we're not just the first pastors here to support this ministry. And I tell you, when I went in there, there was a warmth, and there is a good feeling. And I do see a lot of things that you have to offer people when they go there. You know, there are probably a lot of other places around the country that do what you are able to do for other people as well. But, you know, there is a statistic you were sharing with me before the program. And I tell you, folks, when I heard this, I went, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe this. But here in America, we have so many resources, you know, and of any country in the world, really. There are so many options to help take care of a family, to feed somebody. You know, there's so many food banks and clothing places. And yet, when you told me about the statistics of how many abortions we've had since it became legal in 73 and all this stuff, why don't you share some of that with the folks?
Well, there have been 50 million abortions since 1973 when it became legal in our country. And I know when you hear that number, 50 million, it just is so mind-boggling and it goes beyond what you can really comprehend. But a way to picture it is to think back to when the tsunami hit in 2004 in South Asia. And that took the lives of 225,000 people, which, you know, we all just so were struck by that and grieved by that incredible loss of life. Well, if you compare that to the 50 million abortions since 1973, it would be in America as though we've had 222 tsunamis since 1973, or six tsunamis a year.
Wow.
If you could just picture that happening in our nation. Every 2 months, another tsunami happened and 225,000 people lost their lives.
And we're talking young, we're talking babies
yes, unborn babies. And so they're not seen, and it's a hidden thing going on. And so for the most part, you know, Americans aren't walking around conscious of this or thinking about it, but it is every much a devastating loss to our nation of life, which, you know, life, human life is created in the image of God. And so it just is sacred. It is so special to him. And so you think of all those 50 million. Now, some will be 35, 34, 33, 25, 20, 18, all of those missing people in our nation, you know, all of who haven't been able to live, enjoy life, enjoy their families, you know, go to college, get married. And
you know, even more importantly, too, Lisa, to do what God sent them here
exactly.
to do.
Exactly, right.
And,
right,
you know, there that's that many plans of God that we just decided we don't need those plans on this earth. And we just threw those plans out and just say, forget it. We don't even want to look at the plan. Forget the plan.
Right.
But, you know, as churches, we should be so, you know, just so torn about this because it's people in our neighborhoods. It's professionals that come to, I know that I spoken to you earlier last year, and you had mentioned that, that it seems to be a higher percentage now of professionals and college age women that are having abortions, which they're a little bit more hidden. It's harder to find them in a way.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they know where to get an abortion. You know, they don't necessarily need a free pregnancy test. And so they will often just head right to the abortion clinic. And so it can be more difficult to draw them into a pregnancy center. But we're really seeking God and praying and looking for his strategies to more effectively reach out to those women.
Right. Amen. And so we, you know, here, we just want you to know today on this program, the reason that we're doing these series is that with God, he doesn't condemn us. You know, he sent his son to this world because he loved us. You know, John 3:16, a verse that almost any person, whether they're a Christian or not, would know. The one verse everybody would know from the Bible is that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And it dawned on me as I thought about this verse that when God wanted something done on the earth, he had to send a person. And he sent his son to erase the biggest problem we ever had, which is sin, and to give us a way out. And so some of these babies that never have made it, you know, some of the problems we face today, they probably were some of those solutions that we sent back and said, forget it. You know, we can do this on our own. And your ministry comes along to help prevent some of those from happening. I mean, imagine what the number would be if we didn't have ministries like yours around the country. You know, how many, you were telling me about the school buses. How many busloads of children those numbers add up to?
That adds up to, in Pennsylvania, we were talking about, it would be in the year 2005, that's the latest year that we have statistics, 33,500 Pennsylvania residents had abortions.
Wow.
And so that would translate into 446 busloads of children.
Oh, my goodness.
Who are just missing, you know, a busload holding, say, 75 kids. And so that many students who aren't in schools and, you know, aren't growing up, they don't know their brothers and sisters, and their brothers and sisters are missing them.
Right.
And, yeah.
But, you know, we can just repent. You know, I think as a nation, that's something we need to repent over, for letting these things go. But, you know, if you are someone that had this happen to you, where you had an abortion, you know, maybe when you were younger, or you just might have had one, or you know somebody that did, God does not condemn you. He certainly doesn't. He loves you, and He has a way out for all of us. And His forgiveness, it really, when He forgives us for something, it's as far as the east is from the west. He removes it from us, and He doesn't remember it.
Right.
And I am so thankful for that. I mean, aren't you, Lisa?
Yes.
So thankful for that option. It doesn't matter what it is we've done in life. You know, I've met, I remember listening to this minister preach, and he, as he was preaching when I lived in Tennessee, he's a very big guy, you know, and he was saying he was out of jail, but God just totally, he had life sentences in prison, and God miraculously had the slate wiped clean. And he was a murderer before that, and now he's a preacher of the gospel, one of the most humble men I've ever met. And so he was like a big old teddy bear, and I thought to myself, how God can change a person the old nature to the new nature. So how would you like to encourage, you know, some tips maybe for people who know someone that's gone through this, or if they've gone through it themselves, what are some of the things you would encourage them?
Well, forgiveness is such a big thing. Now, some people will say, who are believers, they'll say, well, you know, I did have an abortion, and I asked God to forgive me, and I know He's forgiven me, but it still haunts me. I still think about it. I still can't talk to people about it. I still feel like cloaked in shame and secrecy about it. And so while it's true that they've walked in a measure of God's forgiveness, like, you know, God's word says that the truth sets us free. You know, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And there's a verse, Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. You know, the enemy would want us to cover it up, to hide it, but then he can really do a number on us and, you know, hold us back from our purpose in life if we're like cloaked in this guilt and shame. And so really what we encourage people to consider is, I mean, an initial first step would be to talk to a trusted friend and bring that hidden thing out into the open and begin to share about what happened, the abortion and, you know, the emotions and all that surrounding it. Now, what would be even better is to join up with a group of people, like at our ministry and most pregnancy centers around the country, there would be post-abortion support groups for people who've had abortions. And it's basically what they do is they get together and they find out that, wow, I'm not the only one who's felt this way. And really, 44% of American women will at one time in their life have had an abortion. So it's, you know, it's that rampant. And so there are, you know, there are other women out there that you can share with them your story of, you know, what led up to the abortion, what it was like, and, you know, find so much that you would have in common with these other women. And so it's an issue of like exposing it and, you know, having God's word, His light shine on it with His truth. And, you know, talking through the shame and the guilt and the condemnation and working through God's forgiveness, really receiving God's forgiveness and being able to forgive yourself. Sometimes that's one of the most difficult things is forgiving yourself.
Right.
But as you look at God's word and know that He's forgiven us, you know, we know that we can also forgive ourselves. And at the close of we have about a 10 to 12 week Bible study with the women. At the close of it, we have a memorial service that is like a funeral service, you know, where the women come, sometimes their husband will come or family members, and it's just a beautiful remembrance of the sacredness and the preciousness of every single child who was lost, you know, represented by those women who are there. And often as the women are going through the group, they'll sense from the Lord the sex of the baby and oftentimes the name of the baby.
Yes.
And so, you know, it becomes very tangible and very real because, of course, it really was a child, and the child's in heaven with the Lord, but you know, there is a child. And and so sometimes at the end we'll have a releasing of doves or a releasing of balloons representing the children, and just that they're in God's care. But it just brings everything into a more tangible place and then into a more peaceful and settled place in the women's hearts.
Yes, and you know, that's a good point you make too, Lisa, with the babies that have been aborted. They're with Christ, you know, they're certainly with the Heavenly Father. They're in a place, and the mom, you know, if she might not know the Lord, as a friend to her, if you're listening and you're someone, you know, someone that has had an abortion and maybe she doesn't know the Lord, or maybe you're listening and you don't know the Lord. You know, one way to fix that would be to go where your child is now, to be able to go there at the end of your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way to do that is only through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to come through him because he is the door. And so if that's something that you're, you know, wanting to do today, don't hesitate to call us and to, you know, email us, and we'll give you that information later on. But I just want to let you know that it's not hopeless.
Right.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and so what are some of the other, you know, things that you can share with us maybe that...
Yeah, I just wanted to tag on to when you said it's not hopeless. We have seen such a transformation in the lives of these women who've gone through the Bible study that we kind of nicknamed them Women of Freedom, because they felt like they were in prison, almost in their own self-imposed prison, you know, and yet what we've said to them is that the prison door is open. You know, Jesus has forgiven you. Like, walk out of that prison cell into this life that God has for you, you know, to fulfill your calling. And I mean, the transformation that they go through is so striking that whereas before they received healing for their abortion, they didn't want to tell a soul that they had had an abortion. And after the group, oftentimes they want to stand up in front of whole congregations and say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And their faces are shining, and they're just such strong advocates of the healing and forgiving power of the Lord. It is remarkable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of why Satan really wants to keep people held back in guilt and condemnation from their abortions, because they become such strong advocates to reach out to others to say, hey, we can be forgiven for these mm-hmm. sins. You know, if the Lord can forgive this sin, he can forgive every sin. That's, you know, what he wants to do. That's who he is. And so,
absolutely. And I think what it does too is it destroys the ammunition of the enemy to work on the mind. You know, many women are so, you know, we think about things and, you know, the emotions start playing into the emotions and, you know, all this, the shame and condemnation you talk about, you know, that we mentioned before. But, you know, I was curious as I was listening to you, what is the, like, how far back has a woman had an abortion? Like, how old would the child have been today? Do you have any?
I'll tell you what. We have been at retirement facilities where 88-year-old women who've received our newsletter call us and say, can you please come and visit with me? I had an abortion back in whatever World War it was.
Wow.
And they describe the scenario, and they've just been sick over it for years and years and years and years and never told a soul. And so it goes way back, you know. But it goes that far back, you know, early in the 1900s.
Wow.
Women were having abortions. Of course, not near at the, you know, quantity that's happening today once it became legal. But
that is just amazing. And, you know, to see freedom. God just wants us free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He just wants us free. And so it doesn't even matter what somebody around you might say and, you know, how people might, for some reason in our society today, we like to classify people in certain you know, classes, if you will, you know, and you've done this in your past, so you'll never be able to do this, or you've, you know, but with God, he is the one that makes us a brand new creation.
Right, right.
And with that brand new creation comes a package, and if we would just open it up and see all the freedom that's in that package that he has for us, I mean, it certainly is a way that we can live life and live it to the fullest. You know, John 10:10 says he came to give us life and life more abundantly.
Right, right.
And that's certainly, and in the contrast, of course, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And so for many women, you know, that might be a starting point that they've had as an abortion. That's the first step to stealing, killing, and destroying. But he's kept them in bondage all these years, even doing the same thing to their lives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
And in some cases, have you found where they felt like they deserved it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or that they're being punished.
Yes.
Or if they can't conceive after that, you know, Satan has all kinds of ways of twisting what's happening to be something that's negative coming to them against them from God.
Right.
God.
But we know the truth, you know, that's not God's truth. That's not his word. So
that's right.
This ministry, you know, SVPS, they certainly are here to help women and men to see the truth and to shed light on what Satan has hidden for so long. And, you know, what has become so socially acceptable. It's absolutely amazing for me to see, even now in this time of our country where there's a presidential campaign, and so now this is where all the issues get thrown out on the table, and to stand there as a person and say and defend having the position where it's okay with me if we kill people. That's really what I think it comes down
to. That's right. It is.
You know, it's okay for with me if I allow people to die. But you know, here's what I will do for the economy and here, but you know, here's the bottom line. I think, Lisa, when we refuse God's, solutions to the earth, which is a gift that he's sending to us in the form of people, as human beings, then we really are refusing a lot of the solutions and the economic situation and everything. It's, you know, human beings, we're the ones that make up the economic structure. We're the ones that, you know. So if you're a believer, you know, and this lie that gets thrown out there of deception of how to even voting people in office plays a big part in what we say about God's word when it comes to abortion.
Right.
And, you know, God's word is clear about him sending people here for our benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes me think of Jeremiah 1:5, where it says that the Lord formed us each. He knew us each and he set us apart for his purposes. So he foreknew every single one of us. He loves us, and he has a purpose for each of our lives. And like you're saying, when children are aborted, that life is lost, and the life purpose is lost.
Absolutely.
And it's a tremendous loss for the, you know, the parents of that child, for the family of that child, the grandparents, and all of society.
Absolutely.
Just suffers a tremendous loss.
It is. It is. And, you know, we have to think about things from God's way. You know, God's perspective in Psalm 139:16, where I read, but if you look at verse 17, he's thinking about us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he, you know, God is obsessed with us.
He is. He's in love with us.
He absolutely is, you know, and I always tell people to think about it this way. You know, when you, if you're married and before you got married, when you started dating, you constantly thought about each other. Well, God never stops thinking about
us.
I mean, he is absolutely, and he looks for us. He, he looks at us for worship and adoration of him. And I think one of the best ways that we can, praise God and be thankful to God is how we treat the people that he sent to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, and the ones that can't help themselves yet, which
the least
are babies.
Of these.
Yes, the least of these.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus, he set up an example for us when he was on the earth. You know, his disciples were trying to manage things for him. You know, they were his little managers around him all the time. And when the children would come to him and they would send them away because, you know, kids, this is for adults and don't bother the master. And he rebuked them. You know, he rebuked the disciples, the adults that were helping him. He put them in place, in you know, in their place. He had the priority, and said, no, suffer the children to come unto me.
Right.
And so we truly believe here at Victory Christian Fellowship, and we know with SVPS that a human life is definitely something that's valuable. It's not just another animal being born.
That's right.
It is a human being that's being born on this earth for a purpose.
Yeah, and as much as God loves those little babies, he loves the mother who's pregnant with that baby that she wasn't planning on being. And I always, when I used to counsel the girls that come into our ministry years ago, what I would say to them is that the same God who wants you to carry this child to term is obligated to help you, because that's his will, that this child lives, and he would never ask you to do something that's a really hard thing and then abandon you.
Yes.
You know, he will walk beside you through every step of it. You know, he has plans to prosper her and not to harm her and give her a hope and a future. And so that's the God that's our God. That's our creator God. That's our father who's not not just wanting to have the babies have life, but he wants the woman and the man to have abundant life in him that... and he's going to stand by her. One of my favorite ways that I think about God is that he's my helper. You know, he'll help me with the tough stuff, the little stuff, whatever it is. He is my helper, and that's who he wants to be to these girls and guys who are in crisis pregnancies.
Amen. Well, we have about a minute and a half left, but I want at least to close us out in prayer. And I just want to say to you, Neil, just remember this, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had a tough decision to make. And you know what? God sent her help in the form of her cousin Elizabeth, a mentor. So you can hook up with ministries like SVPS and other ministries around the country that you know of to help you, to mentor you through this time in your life if you're going through such a thing. Well, Lisa, would you pray us out of the service today?
Well, Father, we thank you that you are our helper, that you are our creator, that you love us to the point of sending Jesus to die in our place, that we can be forgiven of sins and we can start that relationship with you that grows and grows and deepens and deepens. And God, I pray for each person who's listening and who is in a crisis pregnancy or who has had an abortion. God, I pray that they will feel your love, God, even as we're speaking, and that they will turn to you, that they will receive your love and your help, God, directly from you, from your word, and from the mentors, from those that you will bring it across their path or you will lead them to get the help that they need. Thank you, God, for caring for your people so well. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, God bless you, and you could call us at 838-2033 or www.vcfpa.org. God bless you.